Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM Progress. Happy Friday to you. We all made it. This is John Fugelsang. You're on channel 127, and this is Tell Me Everything. Bringing good trouble to the right-wing bubble. Thank you so much, Dean Obadalla and his entire squad, for being such a wonderful live lead-in. We are produced by Chris Hauselt in the South Carolina Bureau, the great Thea Harper in the Brooklyn Bureau. I'm somewhere in Northern California, performing tonight at the Napa Comedy Festival. So when this show ends, I'll be racing to a venue and letting an audience down after I disappoint all you guys. We are wrapping up the week with Max Burns, who writes for The Hill and Newsweek. But as always, our most important guest is you guys. Please pick up your phone, punch it in, 866-997-4748. What a day. Joe Biden told reporters he's going to travel to Baltimore next week to view the recovery and demolition project at the site of the Key Bridge collapse. Today, the biggest crane in America barged into the harbor with hope that its 1,000-ton capacity will make easy work of clearing over 4,000 tons of twisted steel and rubble that are clogging the shipping lanes. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's Fulton County legal team filed an appeal this month's ruling that allows District Attorney Fani Willis to remain on the prosecution team. That will go nowhere. Today is 1 year to the day since Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich was arrested and jailed by Russia's FSB, charged with alleged espionage. And Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has launched an investigation into a company supplying parts to the troubled airline Boeing. You're asking, oh, he's looking into the mechanical issues that have been plaguing the aircraft. No, this investigation is hunting DEI practices, because safety might sleep, but a racist never does. Israel's defense minister has pitched the U.S. officials on a multinational military force with troops from Arab countries to escort humanitarian aid convoys into Gaza. And the Biden campaign just launched a new digital ad targeting Nikki Haley supporters in 8 swing states. Finally, you may have heard Louis Gossett Jr. has left us, the first African-American to win the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for The Drill Sergeant in An Officer and a Gentleman. He did lots of great roles over the years. Really great performance as an alien in Enemy Mine from the 80s. Even greater as a survivor of the Tulsa massacre in HBO's Watchmen. I will always love him for his performance in the original Roots. He just died today. He was 87 years old. Okay, we got a show. Let's get to it. There's been so much going on all week between the Mifepristone hearings before the Supreme Court, federal agents raiding multiple Diddy homes, losing Joe Lieberman, ISIS-K taking responsibility for a terror attack, the Ronna McDaniel saga, the Robert F. Kennedy saga, Sam Bankman-Fried convicted of fraud, sentenced to 25 years. But I want to focus briefly on Texas Republicans. They don't like abortion. And as you know, more than 7 in 10 Americans support access to abortion pills. That's the case before the Supreme Court this week. More than 7 in 10 support access to mifepristone. This is why you're going to see the Supreme Court back down and not take the bait on this one. There is widespread support for letting women get drugs for an abortion from their doctor or clinic. 72% support it. including half of Republicans. But now that they've ended abortion in the beautiful state of Texas, Texas Republicans, they're going after in vitro fertilization and contraception. And in the latest news, some of these guys are demanding the death penalty for women who have abortions, and presumably for children who have abortions. Rape is no exception in the state of Texas. As you guys know, the rapist's sperm is more important than a woman's rights. So this is the abortion abolition movement, right? And some Texas Democrats released a video showing actual Texas Republicans supporting the death penalty for women who are seeking abortions. This video shows Hood County Constable Scott London, Hood County GOP Chair Steve Biggers, and Hood County GOP Chair candidate Greg Hardell attending this meeting by AATX Abolish Abortion Texas. So Hood County Democratic Chair Adrian Quinn Martin got a hold of this video and posted it. I want to play you a little bit of it. The edit's about 7 minutes long. We won't play all of that, but speakers are suggesting that women who terminate pregnancies should get the death penalty because the Bible says eye for an eye.
Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. The same penalty for harming or killing a born person is also imposed by God in His law for killing a pre-born person. There's no difference in the value of born people and pre-born people. The question is, if you've been alive during a genocide, you know, Nazi Germany, think of Stalinist Russia, think of Rwanda in 1994, what would you have done about it? In short, abortion is murder. And that's starting at the moment of fertilization, even prior to implantation. So the Plan B pill, or what's known as the morning after pill, which is used to terminate or kill a baby prior to implantation, that is an abortion. Other forms of abortion in this category would include what happens in IVF when a fertilized
is
egg
abortion.
Is created and is oftentimes destroyed. Those that do
Okay, it goes on like this for a
destroyed.
while. Can I just say, if you're holding a baby in one hand and a fertilized embryo in the other hand, that's frozen, and you drop them both at the same time, which one would these people race to catch? If you dropped a woman and dropped a fertilized embryo, which one? That was Paul Brown, the director of policy for Abolish Abortion Texas. Of course, you know, these people think life begins at foreplay. Plan B is not used to kill a baby. Plan B keeps a fertilized egg from attaching to the wall of a uterus. That's it. A fertilized egg is not a baby. A fertilized egg could become a baby after months of gestation. It is not a baby. And if you think that's murder, then you need to put out a warrant for God, because more than half of all fertilized eggs do not implant on the uterine wall. You get the feeling most of these guys really were falling asleep during science class. So he said they're against basic contraception. And in the video, he says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. The same penalty for harming or killing a born person is also imposed by God in his law for killing a pre-born person. Now, that's a lie. In Exodus 21, God makes it very clear. If you strike a pregnant woman while you're fighting another guy, two men are fighting and they're striving, it says, if the woman has a miscarriage, you pay a fine to the woman's husband because God considers a fetus to be property. But if you're fighting another guy and you strike a pregnant woman and the woman dies, you pay with your life, because God asserts that a woman's life has more value in his eye. Now, and the bigger problem is that's Exodus. It's not Jesus. These guys don't follow Jesus. They're conservative Christians. They use Jesus's name. They wave him around as a prop. They don't like his agenda. And of course, Jesus overturns eye for an eye in the Sermon on the Mount. But conservative Christians don't know Sermon on the Mount. They prefer posting the Ten Commandments, only two of which are actually illegal. Now, here's the deal. A nation's use of the death penalty is a pretty solid barometer of its basic morality. And what we're hearing again from these Texans is, we're so pro-life, we are willing to kill you. And they are. We just witnessed the first execution via nitrogen gas in U.S. history. The unspeakable violence of the Alabama execution, 35 years after the guy committed his crime. after he'd already survived another execution attempt. "We're failing at basic humanity. And by we, I mean right-wing Christians. Nick Fuentes, you know him? He went to Donald Trump's Nazi Thanksgiving dinner. He says that when his America First movement takes power, all non-Christians will be executed." "Yes. When we take power, they need to be given the death penalty. They must be absolutely annihilated." Donald Trump's friend, Balloonhead Charlie Kirk, says he wants to see Coca-Cola sponsor televised executions of Donald Trump's political opponents when Trump goes back to the White House. He said, "I'm not kidding." These are the Christians, folks. They really want state-sponsored murder. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania pastor Marvin Mosley, who just admitted to raping three children, has been sentenced to only 6 to 23 months. But this is the pro-life movement. And pro-lifers who support the death penalty are like vegetarians who eat meat. We're the only nation in the Western Hemisphere that sentences its own citizens to death. Amnesty International had a report last year on global trends in the death penalty. And some of the stats aren't too surprising. You know, the most state executions take place in China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Vietnam, and Iraq. But the United States judicial system remains still, for the 10th consecutive year, we are the only country to carry out executions in the entire region of North and South America. Which brings us to Good Friday. Good Friday, which we are broadcasting live on right now, Good Friday is when we honor the most famous innocent brown-skinned man to ever get the death penalty. Good Friday is when pro-death penalty Christians mark the execution of anti-death penalty Jesus, and it's all irony-free. Because again, Jesus never came out against abortion. He came out against the death penalty. He came out against killing people who kill people to prove that killing people is wrong. And here's the deal. Atheists, please stay with us. You don't need to believe any of this is literal fact. It's what's in the book they claim to follow. And we're looking at you, Texas. Jesus doesn't like your official state pastime. Texas has carried out nearly 40% of the more than 1,500 executions America's done since capital punishment resumed in 1976. Texas's former governor, the great Christian George W. Bush, held the record for the most executions of any governor in American history until his record was topped by another Texas governor, comedy legend Rick Perry. So this Jesus, not a huge fan of killing the sinner. This radical, long-haired, nonviolent, brown-skinned, homeless revolutionary Jew never said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we lethally inject those who trespass against us." In the Sermon on the Mount, he totally overturns an eye for an eye and tells his true followers to turn the other cheek. He told St. Peter to forgive those who sin against you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And I know Texas has cut a lot of education funding, but that's 490 times. You want some more? Can I give you some more? James 4:12 says God is the only one who can take a life in the name of justice. Romans 12:17 warns against answering evil with evil, reminds us that God takes care of payback in the afterlife. John 8:7, Jesus talks about how all people are imperfect and therefore unqualified to decide who lives or who dies. Guys, I didn't write it, but the right-wing Christians, they don't read it. And then you got Jesus completely abolishing the death penalty in John chapter 8. You know that one, the story of the female adulteress, where they bring her and they're going to stone her to death. And he says, "He among you is without sin can cast the first stone." I know he still leaves wiggle room for people who've never sinned to carry out executions. But anybody who sent George W. Bush to the White House, it's a safe bet you're off the list. And the funny thing is, if there was no death penalty, this magical Jesus character might still be here. And these Republicans, they like strapping the state, strapping a citizen to a table and injecting them with poison until they die. It does not get more big government than that. Now, again, Christians, y'all can be mad at me, but it's in the book. I didn't write it. You should read it. And of course, you're free to do whatever you want to ban abortions. I mean, you right-wingers could get serious about reducing the number of unwanted pregnancies so we'd have fewer abortions. But hey, come on. How are you guys going to fundraise off basic common sense? The main thing is, if you support the death penalty, you're not pro-life. You're pro-some life. You're vegetarians for meat. So remember my right-wing anti-women's reproductive freedoms. You Texas Republican Christians, Jesus was anti-death penalty and never mentioned abortion, but only if you believe what's actually in the Bible. Bishop Tutu said, "To take a life when a life has been lost is revenge, not justice. And I'll remind you, if you kill a murderer, there are still exactly the same amounts of murderers in the world once you're done doing it. So, again, I could quote the Bible all night on this. I mean, Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. Jesus says in Matthew 9, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Don't forget Genesis 4, Cain kills Abel, and God gives the world's first ever murderer a full pardon. And in Romans 12, St. Paul, the guy right-wingers prefer to quote other than Jesus, says, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, the official Catholic teaching on the death penalty is, in the light of the gospel, that the death penalty is inadmissible because it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. And the church works with determination for its abolition worldwide. That's an abolition movement I can get behind. It's been a rough time for justice in this country for the past couple of decades. As you guys well know, civil rights and voting rights are under attack. Marginalized groups, from refugees to transgender children, are all at risk from these so-called Christians. And look, I know some of you don't like hearing me talk about the Bible. I'm a big fan of asking, why can't we read this book as parable and metaphor when the main character speaks in parable and metaphor? But Good Friday and Easter is a time to remember. Like Easter has always reminded me of what I witnessed as a young person during the AIDS crisis and the struggle for dignity and justice waged by LGBT Americans and their straight allies. I mean, that to me was the Easter story. I'll tell you why, but first look at Jesus on the crucifix. This, you don't have to believe in it literally, but look at this naked, bleeding, ridiculed, convicted loser. The character is rejected by everybody in the end. He's set up by the religious authorities. He's sold out by his friend. He's condemned by the government. He's beaten by the cops. He's denied by his own crew. He is forsaken. He is hopeless. And that suffering, that cross part, that stuff that happened on this day in the Bible, that's part of the death and rebirth that we celebrate every spring. There's a reason why the people who wrote this book and put it together put the Easter story during springtime. Because death and rebirth are something we witness throughout our lives. We witness it throughout our politics. We witness it through all of our civil rights struggles. The darkness that comes from knowing that the fascists are winning and the good people are scared, or good people just check out. Except what I like about the Jesus execution story is, whether you believe it is history or literature or myth or divinity, the darkest moment is not the end. Which is why it always reminded me of the struggle of LGBTQ Americans during the AIDS crisis. I mean, think about it. Like, that's a story of suffering and of loss and of rejection, of torture and pain, of humiliating suffering and death, and then rebirth with forgiveness. That's the story of Easter. That's all the spirituality I really need. And you want some good news for Easter Sunday? Crystal Mason. Remember her? The Texas woman, African-American, sentenced to 5 years in jail because she voted improperly back in the 2016 election. She got a victory today. The appeals court acquitted her of all charges and overturned her sentence, which thankfully she had not begun to serve. She's 49 years old right now. And back in 2016, she tried to vote in Fort Worth, even though she was ineligible because she was still on supervised release, like probation, for a tax felony. But she didn't know this. She's always said she had no idea. She was trying to be a good citizen. She didn't know she was ineligible because she was on probation. And she only tried to cast a ballot because her mother urged her to. So now, after all the fraud we see, after Donald Trump's on tape committing voter fraud in the state of Georgia, this woman gets a 5-year prison sentence. And happy Easter, it's overturned by a Texas appeals court. Meanwhile, Brian Pritchard, he's the vice chair of the Georgia GOP. We now know he voted illegally 9 times while on probation and got 0 prison time. Happy Easter anyway. We want to know what you guys think. We are at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. We're going to be right back with the great Max Burns and your calls in just a moment. This is Progress After Dark.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are at 866-997-4748. We have no guests in hour number two, so we're getting to everybody's calls tonight, and I can't wait. Also, some audio from last night, Biden doing some more good stand-up at Radio City Music Hall, where the event he had raised $25 million, featuring Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And I know if Jimmy Carter could have been there, I think he would have been there, too. We are at 866-997-4748. Donald Trump has been really distracted from the campaign by his mountain of legal fees. And our next guest points out that's a huge opening for Joe Biden and the Democrats to lead the national conversation. And you know what? They're beginning to. Max Burns is one of our favorite guests. He's a Public Relations Society of America award-winning Democratic strategist and political columnist. His work has guided some of the most successful American companies and campaigns. You've seen him on TV, heard him on the air, and read him in the Daily Beast, News Nation, NBC News. Max Burns, we're always thrilled when you can join us. Welcome back to Progress.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being had. Your piece in The Hill. I got to talk about Trump's crumbling empire gives Biden a golden opportunity. You know, it's one thing, Max, for us to make fun of Donald Trump selling Bibles, and we should do that. It's finally a Bible that bursts into flames if you bring it in a church. But it's really a sign that things are not good for the billionaire when he's already been selling the Bible and the cologne and the puffy gold sneakers and the softcore gay porn NFT cards. At some point, we got to stop making fun of it and realize this guy's scared.
He is. And he also has a lot of money to make up. I mean, I was almost curious about this $60 God Bless the USA Bible, because I just love this, the completely unironic statement, the Holy Bible introduction by Lee Greenwood. Phenomenal. But he is trying to make up this $500 million that he owes for all of these mounting legal debts. And he has never been a stranger to hawking junk. So this is his latest strategy. And it's something that is taking way more of his attention than campaigning is right now.
Yeah, that's the fascinating part about it. I mean, he can't stop saying how much money he has. He can't stop telling a judge one thing and the press something else. I mean, he's literally on trial right now for lying about his net worth. Convicted for lying about his net worth. But how significant is it to you that the Ronna McDaniel NBC story only exists because Ronna McDaniel was forced out of the RNC because Donald Trump is installing his daughter-in-law to essentially make it his own private GoFundMe? I mean, this connects to everything, Max. This connects to Ronna McDaniel getting hired at NBC, but it also connects to a lot of Republicans not seeking re-election because they're not going to get any funding from the RNC anymore. I mean, Trump's tick-like sucking the blood out of the Republican coffers. I mean, this is going to hurt the entire party, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I think we've seen Republicans who are leaving the party now basically telling their colleagues, the only question you have to answer for yourself is, are you okay with the RNC being used as Donald Trump's personal bank account? Because that's just the reality. And Lara Trump, who's the co-chair, effectively the only chair of the party, has basically said, if you are not okay with this, maybe it's time for you to leave the party. And that's certainly going to stress out a lot of Republicans who are running for re-election in really close districts this year, who have depended, who have written into their campaign a certain amount of money expected from the RNC that is not going to arrive this year because it's been earmarked. And that's going to make the difference for a lot of races, especially up here in New York.
And we know where the money is going. The New York Times reported this week that Donald Trump has spent $100 million on legal fees in the last 3 years, $90,000 per day he has spent in the last 3 years on defense attorneys, and not one penny of that has been his own money. It's all been donor cash.
That's kind of remarkable that that's legal, is the thing I keep thinking. Like, we have really got to, after this is over, come together and work on a system to police this, because now you've got this process where Donald Trump is largely, if you remember, he used to be noted for how much he would rally. He would do 5-6 rallies a week.
Yeah.
He's been off the trail. He's been at Mar-a-Lago for much of the last month, hosting sometimes 2 or even 3 fundraisers a day. But those fundraisers aren't going to the RNC or to Republicans running for Senate or the House. It's going to Donald Trump. So he's done this, and it's eaten up the entire month of March. So he's really stopped focusing on the campaign. And that's really bad news for Republicans, because Donald Trump is the campaign for them. I mean, he has all the money. He decides what candidates are getting visibility. And if he's not interested in doing this anymore, a lot of these candidates are suddenly standing out there with no one to defend them.
Now, Max, I have to ask you to be fair. It's not that he's not campaigning. He's finding interesting ways to do it, like exploiting a slain policeman's funeral. The guy who is promised to pardon everybody who beat the holy hell out of cops on January 6, 2021, showed up yesterday with film crews in tow to talk outside a funeral and make a cop's funeral all about him, while this 91 times indicted felon talked about law and order.
No, it's disgusting. I mean, the way that he used a slain officer as a political prop, I mean, it's prime Trump, and he's going to fundraise off it. But I think it does turn off a certain kind of Republican voter. And it's the Republican voter Republicans really need right now. It's that sort of suburban conservative, maybe not full-on MAGA, but has voted for Trump once. And they need to bring them back. And things like that turn those voters off. But no one in the party is going to stand up to Donald Trump, because it's his party.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you the million-dollar question, Mr. Burns. How has the White House and the Biden-Harris 2024 campaign been trying to take advantage of Donald Trump sort of having his very small hands full?
Well, you know me. I love to poke at the Biden campaign, because it's just been for so long so traditional, in such a bizarre and non-traditional campaign cycle. But now they're finally starting to get the picture. I mean, they're getting much more aggressive in how they're messaging. Well, when they go low, we go high is thankfully gone forever. May it rest in peace. But we've seen in these just 6 weeks since Donald Trump has been off the trail, focused on his money issues, Joe Biden has surged forward in 6 key swing states, and that includes Michigan and Pennsylvania, where he's actually retaken Trump's lead.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already seeing voters start to realize that the less you see Donald Trump on your TV screen, the less you're likely to support him. So if he is not able to campaign every single day, his support erodes alarmingly fast.
At the same time, though, Max, you know this. I mean, his campaign stops will be the courthouses. He's trying to make this a feature of his campaign, to come out and air his list of grievances. He has cameras there every day. All he needs to do is walk out of the court and address the many reporters that are there, and he's made a campaign appearance. The only problem is he's running on nothing but grievance and vengeance and his own personal hangups. And I still don't think that's appealing to anybody except the folks who are already voting for Donald Trump. I mean, he can campaign on this, but I still don't see the GOP trying at all to reach beyond their core base.
No, and it's not that they don't want to. It's just that the cosmology of Trumpism doesn't allow that. It doesn't allow coalition building, because you are either true faithful or you are a traitor. And then the middle ground is, you know, where Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are sitting. But I don't think, you know, looking at those courtroom appearances, those outside of court rants he's doing are not having the effect that he hopes. I mean, they are certainly not holding up his poll numbers. And at the end of the day, we have to remember, most people will never see those. I mean,
You're
those
right.
are things that are happening in the middle of the day on a work day. And unless you're watching Newsmax, I mean, you're not really going to see it.
That's the good point. You're right, sir, because, I mean, well, hang on. Actually, you're not right, because let me push back on that, Max. Obviously, Fox News and Newsmax and OAN, if that's still a thing, they'll show Donald Trump's rants every night. But again, that's another example of Donald Trump only campaigning to the people that are already supporting him. But you know as well as I that MSNBC and CNN can't quit this guy. They can't quit the hate watch ratings. And you know, every raving speech he does, they're going to cover too.
I think that they're starting slowly to get more responsible. Maybe this is just me hoping. I think the Ronna McDaniel situation shows at least that news outlets are capable of recognizing when it's put directly in front of them how directly platforming these people hurts democracy itself. So my hope is if that is happening, that we're at least getting a little more context than we used to. And I think that has been the case.
I think you're right. I do want to ask you about Ronna McDaniel, because I find this whole story very fascinating. A week ago, hard to believe, Max, it was 1 week ago when this news dropped, only 80 hours. She was on the payroll for 80 hours. But when it began, I was very cynical last Friday, and I just said, this is what cable news does. This is media. It's not journalism. This is media. It's either for access. It's either for because they really believe that Trump might become the next president, or maybe they just thought she's the most unlikable Trump surrogate we can get on the air and this will help Biden somehow. Were you as surprised as I was at the organized revolt of NBC on cameras and off cameras too?
Actually, I was. I mean, I commented early on in this that it's all well and good for MSNBC anchors to say they don't like McDaniel joining. But you call me when they actually protest and some of these contributors give up their paychecks. Well, that's actually what we saw happen. A lot of these people said, we're not going to work with her. This is not just an insult to NBC, but to journalism and to the truth. And it really reminds you that for all this talk of the liberal media, there is a corporate media and there's a non-corporate media. And the corporate media brought Ronna McDaniel on because they thought that she would bring in profit, that people would hate watch her. And the only reason they dropped her wasn't because they suddenly had a moral realization that she's bad. It's that it became clear that she was not a marketable product and that she was not going to drive watching. She was driving viewers away. So she had to go.
Great point. I got to be honest. I mean, nothing against this lady personally. I mean, but I've watched her so much on TV, I don't understand anyone at NBC News looking at her and thinking, oh, she's going to be good for our brand. I mean, Max, she's terrible on camera. She's awful.
She is. She is. And that comes from this reality that Republicans have completely moved themselves into talking only to friendly media. They are completely unversed. It's like when a foreign dictator goes to the UN and American reporters ask them actual questions, and the dictator doesn't know how to respond because it's the first time they've ever been asked open questions. It's like that. And it makes for not just bad TV, but it's bad advocacy. I don't see where the market appeal was in having a contributor who both MAGA Republicans and Democrats hate.
I kept thinking it'll be easy for NBC to get out of this, put her on Meet the Press once, and as soon as she lies about the election being stolen, you can fire her for violating her contract. I'm sure there's some kind of breach clause if you lie. But then I saw the interview and she actually came out and said, no, Joe Biden won the election. I mean, she more or less came out and didn't lie, just said, I've been lying for the past 3 years. Having said that, because she didn't lie, they probably don't have a way to kill her contract, do they? I mean, I assume she didn't have time to break any morals clauses. She's going to walk away with a lot of money for no work.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Republican loves nothing more than being able to go into court and get paid on a contract while not having to work. That is the ideal Republican Party now. Keep the grift going any way you can. I mean, Ronna McDaniel doesn't care. She's going to turn this into some book published by Newsmax publication and make even more money off of this. Mm. But the important thing is that when the media was put in a position to make a choice, it thankfully made the right one. It took a lot more pushing than I would have liked to see, but they did eventually realize that they made a mistake and they acknowledged it. And that is something you will never see on right-wing partisan media.
No, I mean, Fox News got fined $750 million dollars for lies. And the best they could do was put a half-hearted apology on at 2 a.m. to fulfill the contract. I mean, but Ron is probably exclusive. to NBC News. I'm sure this contract had a ton of exclusivity in it, so probably they'll have to pay her the full amount, but she's not going to be able to work in any kind of media or publish anything for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the silver lining of this, if there is one, is that if you had to pay Ronna McDaniel, I'd rather NBC pay her to not be anywhere than to be on their screens.
It's fine with me. If I had a spare $300K lying around, I'd give it to her to shut up for 3 years. It'd be worth it to me. We are talking to the great Max Burns, and our number is 866-997-4748. Max, I keep hearing these campaign stories about how Joe Biden's new thing is just getting under Trump's skin. That's what he personally wants to do and to needle him. And so they're putting out statements in public and they're leaking things he said in private. But I was impressed this week by the campaign's official statement. Donald Trump is weak and desperate, both as a man and a candidate for president. He spent the weekend golfing, the morning comparing himself to Jesus, and the afternoon lying about having money he definitely doesn't have. This is great red meat for the base, and I don't know if it discourages anybody from voting for Trump, but it certainly gets people excited to vote against him. What do you think? Is there a downside to this? Is this refreshing to see a president not going high?
No, this is great. I mean, this is, I think, the Joe Biden that a lot of progressives wanted to see, is someone who's going to bring the fight to Donald Trump and not mince words about what we're doing, because you cannot ask the American people to treat this situation as a crisis if our leaders aren't going to act like it's a crisis and talk about it like it's a crisis. And I know Biden has been hesitant to do that because he's tried to be a bipartisan bridge builder. But honestly, he's built enough bipartisan bridges. He just got another one last week with this bill keeping the government open. It's time to use those bridges to send some troops out and reinforce democracy. And that's sort of what this messaging is. And I think you see a lot of not just Democrats, but a lot of independents now starting to pay attention because of this new approach.
Well, sure. I mean, we news nerds pay attention all the time. I mean, these election years are all about that glorious group of people in seven states who don't pay attention and can't make up their minds. The least informed Americans in seven states become the most powerful people in the world for every 4 years in this country. And I'm curious if you think that the media is right when they keep on repeating to us that most of them don't care about Donald Trump's criminal trials. They don't care about the Stormy Daniels or the E. Jean Carroll or the New York fraud. They don't care about how much he's paying in bond, that these are just things that only Trump haters care about. I understand why they say it, but I kind of feel like the relentless drumbeat of these stories and so many more of them, and the first president in history will go on trial in 2 weeks. I don't know, Max. I do you think that these trials permeate the national psyche, or is this just something that Trump haters are watching as an ongoing miniseries?
I think it's easy to think that this is very niche now, but we have never seen a president, a former president of the United States, sitting at the defendant's bench in a criminal trial. I mean, this will be captivating for better and for worse. It will bring out, I think, a lot of very honest conversation about where we are as a country, and that's not going to be pretty. But I think the media underestimates that entirely, because it just is the reality that if voters don't care about this, it's because Democrats are doing a bad job showing them how to care and contextualizing why they should care. Because this is a big deal, and this will define this race and our history.
So in 2 weeks, the hush money trial will begin in New York City. It'll start with the jury selection, but we're going to be hearing a lot about Stormy Daniels and how Donald Trump paid to hide the affair and how Michael Cohen already went to jail for this. How do you feel knowing that the most page sixy of all of his criminal problems will be the big first trial that we're all going to be glued to for the better part of spring?
I think this is definitely the most salacious of the trials, but I worry because it's also the one that legal experts on both sides have said is the toughest case. That elevating this up to a felony has added a lot of burden of proof onto the district attorney. That doesn't mean he doesn't have it. We haven't seen fully what the strategy is, but it is not a slam dunk case. It's going to take prosecutors building a case for a jury and making it very clear to them the chain of events that led to this hush money payment. And I think if they put in the work, I mean, it is clear he did it. He's acknowledged that he did it. And he's, to some extent, proud that he did it and told people that, you know, if you were in his position, you'd have done it, too. If we can't make this case, I think we're in a little bit of trouble.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you might be right. But however, There's a lot of other cases in the wings, and I'm curious if you think any of the other ones have a shot at going to trial this year. It keeps looking like we're getting close with the documents case. I keep praying that somehow it'll happen with the Jack Smith case for obstruction of government and overturning the election. I think that's the most important court case in the history of the country. Do you think we'll get a second one or even a third? I have no problem with these cases being ongoing on election day itself, but what do you think the forecast looks like?
Well, Eileen Cannon, who's the judge in the classified documents case, she's garnered some headaches because she hasn't set a trial date yet there. But I think that's actually closer than we think. Most of the major motions and challenges have been worked through. And once those are done, she's going to have to set a trial date. And she seemed to indicate that that would come sooner rather than later. Whether it's decided before the election is another question. But I do think we're going to get another one probably in mid to late summer.
I have to ask you about Donald Trump's Truth Social post this week, which was my comedic highlight of the week. And that's saying quite a bit because, you know, Diddy's in trouble. But on Tuesday, he posted Crooked Joe Budden disinformates and misinformates all the time. It was hilarious, but you pointed out, according to the new reporting from Reuters, he's apparently spending most of his time begging billionaires to pay his multi-million dollar civil fraud bond. And we know he failed. So what does it say that the big money donors appear to be turning their back on this guy? And a lot of the little money donors who've bought 17 red hats in the last 8 years might be a bit tapped out.
I mean, it tells you that this is a presidency that would be completely for sale if Donald Trump actually wins in November. We've seen that he is completely coincidentally, he would like us to believe, changed his deeply held position that TikTok should be banned. And he did that 6 days before an investor who is deeply invested in TikTok helped merge his company and take it public on the stock market. But all a coincidence. None of this is related. But it does show you what a desperate Donald Trump will do for money. I mean, it's not just a political risk. It's a national security risk because a lot of these people that are involved in these deals are foreign wealth funds. I mean, these are people with very opaque finances, not all of whom are America's friends. And Donald Trump is saying, if you give me this money, I will publicly and unapologetically change my view. And I won't even justify it. I'm just going to do it.
He's for sale. It's just his soul is for sale and he's advertising it. And his voters won't ever know. But he's doing it. You're exactly right. It'd be scary if it wasn't so pathetic. I would be most remiss if I didn't, in our final moments, ask you, Mr. Burns, about the mysterious shrinking Republican House majority. These guys aren't just quitting. They're making it interesting timing to deliberately sabotage the power of this Speaker of the House. And as you pointed out, now Troy Neals, the deeply crooked cop who's serving in our Congress, he's under investigation. You said, depending how bad this is, Mike Johnson's House GOP margin could collapse faster than anyone expected. I'm seeing articles all over the place, Max, about the possibility of Hakeem Jeffries getting the Speaker's gavel before Election Day.
Right. And this would, 6 months, 8 months ago, I would have said this is the craziest fiction narrative you could write. But now with another vacancy coming open next week in the House, that brings Mike Johnson's margin to one. And now if Neals, who seems to be wrapped up in a fairly serious campaign finance investigation, ends up having to step aside or his seat is vacated, that essentially evens it up. Meaning that if Marjorie Taylor Greene gets her way and gets this vote to vacate the chair that she put out to punish Mike Johnson, it would only take one Republican changing their vote to hand the House to Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. And the question is, what does that Republican want and what can I give to them?
It's amazing. Max, it is such a pleasure having you join us. And I just want to say, I hope you're enjoying Lauren Boebert's final year in Congress as much as we are.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. What's the best way for our listeners to follow you, Mr. Burns, to keep up with all your many doings?
You can follow me on Twitter at TheMaxBurns or at Substack. It's substack.com/TheMaxBurns.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Guys, we got to take a very quick break. When we come back, it's your calls at 866-997-4748. In the next hour, it's going to be just open phones. We're going to end the week with you guys. TB's Frank can't be here, so call up and make me laugh. 866-997-4748. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang.
Joe Biden and former presidents Obama and Clinton were together last night, you may have heard, to get some money from the donors with a huge fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall right across the street from the SiriusXM Tower. Real show of Democratic unity and a lot of celebrities. Biden is 4 years older than Bill Clinton, but they all look good together. And it was actually really interesting to watch, because try to imagine any former Republican presidents or Donald Trump's former vice president going on stage with him. That won't be happening, but it was sold out, over 5,000 people. Lizzo was there, Mindy Kaling, Queen Latifah, Stephen Colbert. Tickets went up to $500,000, but they raised $25 million. Here at last night's star-studded fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall, clip A1, Joe Biden debuted some new material on his adversary, Donald Trump.
We're at a real inflection point in history. Things are changing. This guy denies there's a global warming. This guy wants to get rid of not only Roe v. Wade, but he brags about having done. He wants to get rid of the ability of anyone anywhere in America to ever choose. I mean, all the things he's doing are so old. Speaking of old.
And, I agree, yes.
You know, he's a little old and out of shape, but anyway.
Outside of Radio City Music Hall, thousands of protesters were filling Sixth Avenue, calling for an end to the mass slaughter in Gaza and America's complicity in it. A2. These protests are not going to go away anytime soon. Of course, they will go away if this administration can bring about an actual ceasefire. I hope. We are at 866-997-4748. 866-997. Grit, let's go to the phones. I want to hear from you guys. Tom is on the line from Indiana on line 9. Tom, thank you so much for waiting. You're on Progress.
Oh, thanks, John. Just listening to you while I'm cleaning out my fridge.
Oh, thank you very much. That's, I'm almost as enjoyable as cleaning out a fridge. It's a pleasure.
Man, I'm drowning in this Red Sea of Indiana. But
I know. Thoughts and prayers, my friend. Thoughts and prayers.
Thanks. I'm coming to you from the hometown of Red Skelton, though.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, Vincennes. They got it. If you ever get a chance, the Museum of Comedy down here. It's terrific.
I've heard of it. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah. I just wanted to get out of the way first. I love your music, your intro, all that, all your intros, your outros, your CSN, the Rush, the Pretzel Logic. Love it.
That's all Chris. Chris is the smart one on the team. So that's Chris and Thea.
Thanks, Chris. Kudos. I scored my Jeff Lynne ELO tickets for Nashville for October 11th. So
very nice.
Really looking forward to that.
I got really mine for Madison Square. I got mine for Madison Square Garden. I don't tell Chris, but I'm gonna have to take a night off of work sometime in September. But don't tell my producers.
Okay, yeah, secret safe with me. Good Friday joke. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Jesus goes into the restaurant, says to the maitre d', table for 26. He says, but there's only 13 of you. He says, we're all going to sit on the same side.
Very nice.
I've always loved that joke.
You know that my joke about that? You know why they all sat on the same side of the table at the Last Supper?
Why is that?
So they can watch the game.
Yeah, of course. March Madness. Yeah. So I'm wondering, I tell you, I got no problems with, I'm trying to tell my wife, don't worry about Trump. He's not going to be a factor in November, you know, barring anything can happen. I realize that, but just the way things are going, he's not getting any new support from anywhere. People are going to be leaving him once he's convicted. I think he will be in this next one coming up on the 15th.
He'll get a couple.
Yeah. And all it's going to take is one. And I think he's toast. But this damn Electoral College, you know, that's the fly in the ointment. I mean, we can win as many, popular votes as we can. And it just, very often, too often.
No.
Yeah. And what would it take to, we get Biden in, we flip the House, we get the Senate back, keep the Senate. I mean,
those are three very different tasks with three very different levels of difficulty. I mean, I think Joe Biden's going to be reelected. I also think that if somehow the fix is in and he doesn't, if somehow enthusiasm's not there or Trump gets so much foreign money, he pulls it off. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad for our country. It's going to be terrible for democracy.
Absolutely.
It's going to be bad for women, bad for marginalized peoples, bad for poor people. But I also think we will survive it. If it happens again, look, I mean, whether Trump is the next president or not, we're still going to be fighting the same kinds of right-wing fascists. And we're still going to be fighting for the same issues, no matter who the president is.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're never going to get to political utopia where everything's nice. We're going to be old. Hopefully, we're all going to be old and going to protests and calling radio shows and still being engaged in fighting because this never ends. But I think that the presidency we've got, I think the House will perhaps go to Democrats before Election Day. The Senate is going to be a little trickier. It's going to be a lot trickier, but I think that the guy that the Republicans put up in Ohio just made it a lot easier to maybe keep Ohio. Sherrod Brown's breathing a bit easier, I think. I'm worried about Tester in Montana. We're going to have to see what the next few months bring, but the Senate's vulnerable, and we've known for years this was going to be a tough year for Dems in the Senate.
Yeah. Just got to work it. And
we got to keep reminding people, we got to get people to vote. I mean, the work is getting people to vote because people are pissed about Dobbs. If there's large turnout, Democrats keep everything.
Exactly.
If there's low turnout, you know.
It's all in the turnout. And but like you were saying, they're just this kind of the people on the other side have just been emboldened now to the point that they're not afraid to say or do anything. I mean, they're selling red, white, and blue Bibles, for Christ's sake.
I know.
Yeah.
It's really like the last time and the first time Trump ran. It's history's moral IQ test for America. And I want to point out to the gods, the majority of Americans voted against this the last two times. I'm pretty sure the majority of Americans will vote against it again this time.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, I'm just surrounded by these folks, and I would give anything to just live on your block for a week, just to breathe a little, because I gotta think that it's just one Halloween parade or one something. I go visit my kids in Portland as often as possible because it's just people can be people.
Know.
Yeah, and that's all it is, man. It's
Do you get along with them? Do you get along with your Trump supporting neighbors and such?
It's like they condition you to, I got to say, Limbaugh used to say, you can't talk to these people. And that was his way of saying, don't talk to these people. And
I
he
know.
Tried to cut down on the discourse. And it's like,
oh,
you can't
I know
talk.
Did.
No, you can. You absolutely can. My wife is real big on, oh, no politics. And it's like, why? Why can't
yeah.
I? We discussed politics growing up, you know?
That's what I think.
And when my mom says, how come you don't go to church anymore? And I'm like, Mom, I turned 18 in 1980. And when I walked into that, I went to church, Catholic church, every Sunday. And I walked in right before the election, 1980, and there's a pamphlet next to the missalette in the pew telling me why I should vote for Ronald Reagan. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? And I never went back. And you know, they proved me right then in the years following with their stances on stuff and on just everything, from the homophobia and the misogyny and the you know, the move shuffling priest around, and you know, and I haven't missed it. Still spiritual though, keeping the faith, but
well,
just
let me ask
not
you a
on
question.
A regular Sunday basis.
Let me ask the personal question then. You'd leave the church, which I get, but you won't leave Indiana.
It's where my wife is and the grandkids. It's family. Family's keeping me here.
And they stay
if I wasn't
fight,
married,
and you stayed a...
I wouldn't be here. Yeah, pardon me?
Well, I'm glad you're there and that you're fighting for, you know, a more decent society. I've known lots of nice people in Indiana. I mean, look, my dad had it tough. When my dad left New York and moved down first to Virginia, then to Florida, he had a really tough time, but... I wish it could just be more like sports talk. You know, in sports talk, you see men disagree passionately, but they still get along. And that's always been important to me. I spent a lot of time down south. I had a big conservative family in the north. I had a big conservative family in the south. It's really possible to talk with these people, even debate passionately, and not hate each other. We just don't see that in our media too much.
Right. I mean, I don't care much for the guy, you know, in the leaving Walmart with the big Trump flag and the Confederate flag and the black smoke coming out of his pickup. I don't like that guy too much, but he's got the right to breathe just like I do. But I'd love to be able to talk to him if I didn't think he'd, you know, kill me. But, the funny thing is about down here, in southwestern Indiana, all the major cities down here, from Terre Haute to Evansville to Vincennes to all of them, they all have Democrat mayors. All of them do. And yet our representative is Republican, and the two senators are Republican, and all the cities have Democrat mayors, though. And it's like, I got to figure out the formula to that.
The formula to that is that the population centers are where the more educated people go to make more money and get better jobs. So you have higher concentrations of people, higher concentrations of educated people. More education a person has, the less likely they are, generally speaking, to vote Republican. So it's not a huge mystery, but this is all over the country, and it's getting more extreme. Our population centers are getting more crowded. That's why you will have Democratic mayors. You're going to have the state still be red, with rural voters who are better at showing
very
up to vote.
Red.
That's why you're going to
have,
you know,
surrounded by Ohio and Illinois
America.
And Michigan and totally.
But that's our country. Every red state has blue cities and every blue state has red counties. We're going to rise or fall together as a people.
Exactly. Yeah. And people need to see that and just. But thanks for all the years of radio enlightenment. I appreciate it.
Oh, bless you. Well, call anytime.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to have you. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
Take care.
You too.
We're at 866-997-4748. I got to talk to Sean in Cali. 866-997-GRIT. Sean, you magnificent bastard. How are you, sir?
Hey, brother, why don't you just walk over from my room that you're in my other room? Just walk over to this room. You're here
other,
now.
I mean, yes, I'm in
room.
Northern
you're
California.
You're in Northern California, and I'm joking.
Northern California. It's great to be back. I barely made it in last. Nightmare travel, but I made it. And this is it's always fun when I get to do radio and then go be on stage later that night. It doesn't happen too often.
Are there, John, are there still like drive-through espresso shacks up there? That's one thing I remember from Northern California is drive-through side of the road espresso shacks. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, I'm sure there are. There's drive-through Starbucks all over LA.
Oh, good.
There's drive-through Starbucks everywhere.
No, you got to go to the best. There's all kinds of where if it's Napa Valley where you're at, because you're not actually in my basement like, you know, Dre and the Eminem song, but they actually have the most wonderful place in the world there in Napa Valley. So anyway, you're going to have a ball. You're going to have fun. It's one of my favorite places. I saw you in San Francisco. I'm sorry
yeah,
I can't be there tonight, but I'll tell you what, you're going to have a ball. And I love the show always. Chris and Thea are just amazing. So one of the things I wanted to say was about deep fake videos or just
yes.
videos that, you know, short everything, these short attention spans, right, where they by omission lie.
Okay,
so
yeah.
You can think we never landed on the moon if you think, you know, Buzz Aldrin, and I'm just using this example, Buzz Aldrin said, and they cherry pick a quote, and then they don't finish the whole context of the quote. And then, he's saying the guy that landed on the moon saying he never landed on the moon. I mean, this is what I believe, brother, that we're going to see, you know, closer to the election big time because of Elon, ass clown, Musk. And Twitter or whatever the fuck we're calling it, and he's going to let all that shit out. And there's going to be, and by the way, that could be one of the biggest things that, it drives me crazy, which is normally fairly smart people, even if I disagree with stuff with them, they're going to buy into it. So I'm saying, you know, it's the same reason why Donald Bin Laden just appeals all these damn court cases. It's similar.
He's dragging it out as long as he can, either dragging it out or delaying it as long as he can. Yes.
There's a flaw in the system and he does that. And then people are more susceptible to believe, oh, it's all witch hunt. See, he's not been convicted yet. Nothing's happened yet. You know, he's good to go. And, and that's the only thing I want people to be on guard for, because yes, we landed on the moon, and yes, or no, the world is not flat, and you need to at least have the conversation, and as opposed to just being online commenting to other people. I'm old school. I think sometimes, you know, when you see someone who's smart and reachable and giving out bad information, at least in my family and friends, you know, I'm going to call you. I'm not going to text you because there's no context. You don't understand the tone and prosody of how people are talking about it.
You know, there are those who think it's rude to call. You know that at this point. Well, my God, you called me on a phone? How rude.
I know. But you know what? I mean, right now it's so important for women. It's so important because right now the Republicans are trying to, basically they're saying there are rapists. Rights, right? And that's what they're saying. There are rapist rights, you know. I mean, and most people don't know that.
Oh, and the right of rapists to pick out the mothers of their next children. That is the right we're talking about.
Absolutely, and don't kid yourselves, people, because these people, you know, the people that can afford the abortions that won't be legal for everyone else. And they'll be able to get them are the rich people, but there are those others that are going to get by abusing women. And, you know, I'm telling you, this is where we're at. And I want young people to understand this. I'm so happy that my young person in my family, with regard to social media, came up to me and said, Dad, what do you think about it? Is this true? And then I can say, no, it's not true. Or I can say, look, they're omitting facts. So it's the same omission. It's the same thing as lying or paltering. That's another way of lying. Republicans do this. It's PR firm crap. But we have to stay engaged, man. We have to make sure that we try to engage people all the way through to the end, Brother John.
And, you know, I agree with everything you say. I share the same fear about deepfakes. I think it's going to get to a point where most people will be inclined to believe what they see. And tracking down the corrections when the official deep fake authority that doesn't exist yet tells us what's real and what isn't. Chris, I sent you a clip. Did you get it?
AI.
Do you have that clip I sent Chris? I don't think Chris can hear me.
I'm getting it. I'm loading it as we speak.
Okay, because I was but I mean, with the AI, like I've seen the clip of Donald Trump getting tackled outside the bus and these sort of things. They're going to become much more common. It's the can we replay this clip? But here's the thing I want to tell you, Sean. We played this clip last week, and Stephanie played this clip 2 weeks ago. But I want to keep it handy because I don't know if you've heard this or not. But this is an AI clip, and I just want to show you the other side of AI, because let's be honest, occasionally some things can happen that I think a violent robot uprising might be worth it. Give a listen to this. This is Donald Trump, courtesy of artificial intelligence.
Okay, now we need to talk about how constipated I am. You wouldn't believe how backed up my colon is. And it's mostly because of the garbage I eat. I'm like Oscar the fucking Grouch. My diet is horrible. But it's also because I'm just naturally constipated. I'm just totally and completely full of shit. I mean, I weigh around 300 pounds, but at least 100 pounds of it is impacted fecal matter. It's gross. And don't get me started on the number of toilets I've clogged, maybe 1,000 or more than that. And I tried wearing adult diapers, but when I have a crap explosion, they overflow. It's horrible. After I lost the election in a landslide, I didn't crap for a month. So I took a ton of laxatives and I woke up the next morning drowning in an ocean of my own shit. It was totally disgusting. So when they say Trump shit the bed in 2020, they weren't kidding. And only I really did shit my bed. The biggest crap I ever took was 8 pounds, 9 ounces, like a fat baby, like no one's ever seen before. People had tears in their eyes and said, sir, what a huge turd. No one's ever seen such a turd before. But it turns out they were talking about me. And I hear that a lot because I'm a walking deuce. I am what would happen.
I'm going to play this every night, Chris. I'm sorry. I'm going to play it every night. It's beautiful.
That's great.
That's for you, Sean. That's awesome. For you. That's the magic of
Thank
AI.
Thank you, brother.
There you go. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
That's an Easter egg, huh? You can't forget, brother.
Sean, thank you so much for the call. You're special. You've earned that. Have a good one. We're at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. Brian in Oregon on line 3. Welcome, hey. Sir. Thank you for waiting on hold.
Hi,
how you doing, Brian? Hey.
I'm doing well. I came back from the pool on I think you must have played that for Keith on Tuesday.
And I must have.
I put my earphones in, and I never heard Keith Price laugh so hard. That is amazing AI clip of Trump. That's unbelievable.
Glad you liked it.
And God, that's amazing. John, I got, well, let me think. Ty Pinkins is running against Roger Whitaker in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard him on Michelangelo, and I think he's an amazing candidate, and I think people need to be aware of him and donate money to his campaign in Mississippi. And I think he's high up in the Mississippi Democratic Party. And I
like what I've seen of Ty Pinkins. He's son of a tractor driver. He does not come from any money at all. He's you know, African American man from deep Mississippi who's just pure working class and really running on a lot of traditional progressive issues, doing what Democrats should be doing, speaking to working people and non-millionaires about their actual needs and about which party's trying to help them, which party isn't.
Yeah, and he's going all over. And that David Roger Whitaker is the. He didn't vote for the American Rescue Plan, and I think he might have been the first one that showed up in the state saying, I'm bringing you money for, like, I think it was cafeteria, or, you know, cafe workers or some goddamn thing, and he didn't even
taking
vote
credit.
Taking claim. It was unbelievable.
That's all of them, man, taking credit for things they vote against.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And there's another guy to shout out, for me, I'm all over these Democratic candidates I learn about, is Zachary Shrewsbury in West Virginia, running for Senate.
Okay.
To take the phony Manchin. Democrat, Manchin seat.
Yeah, you know, Manchin wasn't a phony Democrat. He was a conservative Democrat, but he voted for abortion rights all the time. You know, I always said, like, as awful as Manchin was,
He's the only kind of Democrat that could get elected in West Virginia. The days of Jay Rockefeller are just long gone in that state now.
And Robert Byrd.
As happy as I am, and Robert Byrd. Well, but Robert Byrd started out as a racist and then became more liberal. That's how he got grandfathered in. But in the case of Manchin, as happy as I am to see him go, we're going to be sad to see him go. That might be one of the reasons why the Dems lose the Senate. And he was awful.
I got optimism. I think there's a couple others. I'd like Colin Allred against Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think Biden needs to throw some support behind Gloria Johnson against Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee.
I'd love to see it. I don't, you know, I'm very pessimistic about Tennessee.
I'm optimistic, like I've told you before. And one last on the Trump, the Trump Bible is to quote December Rose, get to your motherfucking Bible out of my Constitution.
Oh, man, we got you quoting Pastor Rose. We're doing all kinds of the Lord's work. Brian, thank you so much for the call. It's really good to hear from you. Thank you. I want to get one more call before the break. We're going to get to everybody, though. I promise we will. Blake in Georgia, thank you so much for waiting. You're on SiriusXM. Hello.
Yes. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
This is my first time calling. Long time listener.
Thank you.
I would like to say we are doing ourselves a disservice when we say Trump supporters believe he won. Those people don't believe he won. Mm. They know he did not win. They want what they want.
You're right.
They want to overthrow this government.
You're right.
And that's what people need to understand.
Yeah. I mean, they liked this government when it worked for them. But now that America is a lot less white and a lot less right wing, they don't like democracy as much because democracy doesn't rig the game for them. So they're looking for something else. You're exactly right.
So they're not supporting Trump because they love him, because they believe him. They're supporting Trump because they think he will give them what they want, which is white supremacy.
Boom. Boom. They like the things he says, and they don't pay attention any deeper than that. They're a bunch of Carmelo Sopranos. Just they close their eyes to what they don't want to see. Thank you so much for the call. You should call more often, Blake. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. When Blake gets passionate, does he sound like Kendrick Lamar to you guys? I thought it was uncanny. Get up. Okay, well, sure, but I don't mind that. Blake, thank you so much for the call. We got to take a very quick
break. We'll be right back. This is Progress.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is SiriusXM Progress. We are at 866-997-4748. That is 866-997-GRIT. I want to get to your calls, but really quick, here is Donald Trump Jr. using valuable digital bandwidth to stoke bridge collapse conspiracy theories to grown men who watch Rumble.
Man, you watch that video in sped up, and it's like, there's the power outage, and there's the first correction. And it's like, well, it's not quite perfect on the mount, so there's another power outage. And it ends up being perfect to hit the thing dead square. And I mean, that's critical infrastructure. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, any diesel mechanics watching right now, but, you know, I don't know much, but I know that, you know, these big diesel engines are reliable. And it seems odd that one would go out, they could go out just conveniently and, you know, also conveniently within a couple hundred yards of a critical infrastructure bridge that's there for transporting hazardous waste in one of our biggest port areas in the country. Like, I don't know, folks.
Oh, the stupid Burns. I mean, I have I live with house cats who've read about this disaster more than Trump Jr. has. So the low hum of conspiracy that Fringe America emits every time there's a tragedy is nothing new, but Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg felt compelled to address the Don Juniors of the world.
You know, we're in the business of dealing with roads and bridges and sometimes ships and trains. We are not in the habit as a Department of Transportation of being in the business of dealing with conspiracies or conspiracy theories or that kind of wild thinking. But unfortunately, it is a fact of life in America today. What's really upsetting, of course, is that when misinformation or disinformation circulates, that is not without victims. Remember, this is a human tragedy. Six people lost their lives.
Charles in Nevada is on line 7. Charles, thank you so much for your patience on hold. You're on Progress. Hello.
Mr. Fuglesang, hey, man, you're number one trucker fan here, man.
Oh, God bless. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I wanted to get with you because I got the $64,000 question now. Now, you know, they're always stressing. Well, what if, you know, if something happens to Biden, they're so scared of Vice President Harris getting into big.
Oh, yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay, let's reverse that. Let's say President Pornstar / 45 ends up going to Iron Bar Hotel. I mean, do you got any idea of who he's looking at the
for his vice president?
Yeah, you know, if he goes to Iron Bar Hotel, that means that vice president is going to have to kick in. And he's going to be a right-wing arrogant bastard like President Pornstar. So, I mean,
it's true. I hadn't really thought about it, but you're exactly right. I mean, we're seeing a lot of rumors in the press of who he's considering and who he's talking with. And the latest name that the media is feeding us is J.D. Vance, which would be hilarious because he's so contemptible and unlikable and actually called Donald Trump America's Hitler. I think it's a pretty safe bet Trump's going to probably be strategic enough to pick a woman and not have it be two white guys on the ticket, but you never know. But I think whoever it is going to be picked deserves a lot of scrutiny because as old as Biden is, he's only 3 years older than Trump, and he's in much, much better health. I'd rather be 81 in Biden's shape than 77 with Trump's physiology.
But it's like his family has abandoned him, man. I haven't seen Melania, the son with the dark hair. He's always making smooth talking and making excuses for him. He was on The View, I think, the other day. But the oldest son, the daughter, and Melania, yeah. I haven't seen them.
No, well, the oldest, I mean, Ivanka's she's jumped ship. She and Jared are off counting their Saudi Arabia murder cover-up blood money, and she is not going to be seen on the campaign trail, just like Tiffany. A little late for her to buy some respectability, but I take that as a sign that his own family knows that this thing is done. I just don't think it looks good for him. I don't see a lot of enthusiasm on the right outside of his core base. I just don't see him being more popular now than he was January 6, 2021.
Well, I wigged out when he mentioned, I saw him talking about Bibles the other day. Man, I almost ran off the road. I said, mm-hmm. The devil picking up a Bible? I was like, get.
I know.
To sell it.
Selling Bibles to pay your rape fines.
I got one for you, though. You know, small. If he comes out, what's her name? What's my girl? Stormy Daniels.
Yes.
If Trump starts selling condoms now, I might have to see what he got because she claimed he's a small guy. I'm a small guy in the bedroom too, and you know how hard it is shopping for small condoms.
What? I don't believe that about you for a second, my friends. Don't believe that about you for a second. And by the way, can I say something about these small condoms? Can I say about these Magnum condoms? A normal size condom, gentlemen, will fit over your head. Okay, come on now. Stop falling for bum marketing. Yes,
I don't have a hard time. I get them. I just get those those rubber latex gloves, and so basically a 5-pack. I just cut the fingertips.
That's
off
actually
and I'm good.
Really smart. And you always wear you always wear condoms every time, Chris, right? I always wear condoms always wear condoms. I'm wearing one right now.
24/7.
I've had mine on for a long time, and I'd like to know when I can take it off because it's full. It's full. It's hard. But yeah. Oh, it's
Easter,
a
man.
Friday night in the gutter. We're driving our listeners away. Thank you so much for the call. And by we, I mean I. 866-997-4748. Mitch in Kent State. What's up, sir? How are you, Mitch?
Show tonight.
Hi.
Have a great show tonight, by the way, John.
Thank you. I will.
Yep.
What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, thank you for the Beyonce Blackbird bump. I tell you what, I don't own any of her albums. My kids do, but got a sampling of that Blackbird cover. And fantastic. Just
We're going to drag you. We're going to drag you into the 21st century yet, my friend.
That's right. I'm hanging on to the 60s. But you know what? But thinking back, John, you know, country music and even in Motown and rock, it's always been, you know, no borders as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's Ray Charles. My God, Ray Charles. You know, with his
Ray Charles
album.
Did it first. He did it first. Yeah, one of the best country albums of all time, which is really one of the best soul albums of all time.
Exactly. And even the Supremes. The Supremes did a country and western album.
Oh, yeah.
In 64, 65. But
dude, Mitch, you got to get into Beyonce, the Lemonade album. Listen to it with headphones.
Yeah.
And when you're done with that, you'll be ready for Radiohead. Okay?
Yeah. Well, my kids, you know, they taught me a little bit, you know. So luckily, I have them around to keep me updated. But you know what? Yeah,
no, listen to the whole album, Mitch. Don't listen to the hits and the singles. Listen to the whole album, Beyonce Lemonade. I guarantee you, it'll get you ready, and then we'll continue your education.
There you go. Thank you. And by the way, speaking of history, I mean, it was on this day in '79 that Mark Knopfler and Bob Dylan met to discuss A Slow Train Coming.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I saw Mark Knopfler open for Bob Dylan in D.C. about 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And,
well, today's the day Rock Me Amadeus by Eurostar Falco hit number one in America in 1986. So I got some classic rock trivia as well.
Okay. And when also in 79, Breakfast in America released, Supertramp's Breakfast in America.
49 years ago today, Lady Marmalade hit number one. I can do this all night.
And Desperately Seeking Susan was released today in '85. Wasn't that George Harrison? It was a handmade film, right? Was that Harrison?
No.
You're
thinking of Shanghai Surprise,
which
was Madonna's third movie, which she made with her husband, Sean Penn. And George Harrison produced that and did some lovely music for it, too. I love all that 80s George Harrison's. I don't love all the synthesizers too much, but all the other like reverb and the slide guitar. I love 80s Harrison. But yeah.
Yeah. Even Gontrapo. A lot of people didn't like Gontrapo.
Gontrapo. Gontrapo
really?
Sounds like it sounds like a lot of cocaine and a lot of Casio keyboards.
It's fun to go back. The other one was one more. Your album, our own James Gang here, Kent, Ohio, was released today. The first album, Your Album, with Walk Away.
I bow before you. You have outgeeked me.
Real quick, John. Someone wrote in the Plain Dealer today. You will know them by their fruits, but the fruit of the mega is hate, self-righteousness, turmoil, defiance, cruelty, immortality, and falsity, petulance, and self-indulgence. You know, it's so true.
You left out gullibility, but I'm generally along with the sentiment. Yeah.
So true. And one more thing, John. I mentioned to Thea last night. Did you hear about this? They called it the Tennessee 11. There's 11 people that wanted to meet after that shooting in Tennessee for gun reform, and they're trying to get people just to come to the middle of the road and just work out something to, you know, at least to have some sort of common sense, you know. But they had a meeting there and they've invited like, I don't know, like 100 people, or say 10 people showed up, and it's disheartening. It's really disheartening that we, you know, you can't even come together and agree on something, you know, even after, something as tragic as that shooting.
I know. But you know what's a low turnout? Let me tell you, you're talking to a comedian. Low turnout is not a reason to ever give up.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, John.
I'll be telling myself that about 2 hours on stage. Low turnouts, never a reason to give up.
And by the way, glad to hear Bill from PA last night. My God.
Wasn't that great? I was afraid that Bill and PA had given up on us or something. It was lovely to hear his voice again. He's a gentleman.
Exactly.
Mitch, you're a gentleman too.
Thank you, John. Have a beautiful weekend, and can't wait to see you in August.
Beautiful weekend yourself. Thank you.